Hello, and welcome to the Blockchain.com podcast. My name is Nicholas Carey, co-founder and vice chairman of Blockchain.com. Here at Blockchain.com, we believe in the potential of blockchain technology to improve the state of the world. While cryptocurrencies can radically transform community access to financial products and services, the core technology of public ledgers can be used to build novel applications underpinned by transparency. In our latest podcast segment, Blockchain for Good, we're unearthing contemporary examples of how blockchain technology is making a real-world difference to people, communities, and charities all around the world. We'll learn more about how organizations and projects are using crypto and blockchain technology to promote social and economic inclusion and sustainability efforts. The sustainability and energy use issue around Bitcoin mining is a topic of significant concern and debate in both the cryptocurrency community and broader public discourse. Addressing this issue head-on today, we're joined by Bert de Groot, owner of Bitcoin Bloem, a Dutch startup that is using Bitcoin mining to grow tulips in the Netherlands. I've got a question here for you, Bert. How did you earn your first euro, dollar, or pound? How did you earn your first bit of money?
Yeah, I think it was even the guilder. But back in the time, yeah, I always used to work a lot. Ended up working for global port design and optimization business. So traveled the world a lot, optimizing container transport ports all across the globe. And in the meantime, I rebuilt a small house, which I could get a mortgage on. And in that way, I earned some money. And then I sold that house just before Corona, because I thought that we would see a downtrend in the housing market, and then they started to print money, which I didn't expect for Corona, of course. But by that time, I saved a bit of money, so I had to investigate where I would invest in. So I used to do a little bit in gold. I used to do some Tesla stock, some Adyen, which is a payment processor. I did a lot of research always on some specific things I would invest in. And then Bitcoin came on my path in 2019. So just put a little bit of money in there and then investigated for, I think, almost 2 years full-time in a row. Quit my job full-time. I wanted to know everything. So 2021 also started mining because I wanted to know the technology which was behind it. And then in 2022, the natural gas crisis occurred. The prices exploded. I hung a miner in an aluminium case, which we designed in a greenhouse, put it on Twitter, and it was watched 500,000 times. And then there were so many requests of, can you install miners to heat my business? That last year we did 18 installations all across different kinds of businesses. But the greenhouse is the most famous one, and that's why everyone knows Bitcoin Bloem, but not that much Bitcoin Brabant, where we do businesses in general with heating with Bitcoin miners. Yeah.
Oh man, this is such an entrepreneurial story, and it has these like interesting historical kind of pylons or moments. So not only did you earn your first currency in a currency that no longer exists, now you're earning your currency in the future of money. But along the way, you also were in the celebrated history of Dutch shipping and all of the incredible opportunities there. So I want to talk a little bit more about Bitcoin Bloem. It caught such a moment of inspiration from, honestly, Twitter. Tell us a little bit about how that came about. And this story was picked up by CNN, by L'Agence France-Presse, and more. So it's really gotten a lot of international attention. Talk to us about how that happened.
Yeah, so the first greenhouse was actually nearby because it was not going that well over there. The natural gas price went up a lot, and the electricity price was still very low for them because they had a long-standing contract. So I just asked them, okay, I'll pay your electricity and then I heat your greenhouse for free. And they were really, of course, up for that because that was a great deal. So I hung this test setup, and then another greenhouse came, which was doing tulips. And we did a test setup there for a month, and showed them how it worked, and installed an app on their phone so they could see their daily earnings. And they could go along with it. And then I asked, okay, so how would you like to see this? Would you like to install one computer or more? And we installed more, and we agreed on a certain number which would be okay with the reduction of natural gas. And then with the electricity cost, they would pay themselves. They would also get the Bitcoin. And then you get also into the, how do you save this Bitcoin then as a family, you know, as a family company? So then I also had to investigate to do this properly with signing or hardware wallets. And that's also what we started to sell. And that has also exploded this year. So you see that all along this path of helping people out with Bitcoin mining and heating, that what we had to offer was a little bit broader in the end.
Yeah, so it's basically a whole service provider that's educating small and rural families around how to use Bitcoin, but also potentially using infrastructure for cryptocurrency to actually heat their facilities. And so there's a long history of flowers and tulips and in the Netherlands. Can you tell us just a brief history of the original tulip bubble and sort of the irony of all of this? I think we probably have some younger listeners that may not know their history, but this is quite a famous story.
Yeah, and I have a little bit of a personal feeling about this too. So I will not exactly say how it officially is in history, because you will find that on Wikipedia, of course. But the tulip bubble also marked a start of the golden era in the Netherlands. So it's really at the beginning where we had the world reserve currency in the Netherlands, the florin back in the time. And what was happening, everyone was looking for investment opportunities to save money, and they were searching for scarce assets. And then you get into tulip bulbs, which were, some types were really rare, so there were just a few of them, and that made them very valuable. But that was a hype for a short term. So it's the first really well documented hype cycle of a product which was scarce in the history of mankind. And that's where you see that they always think that Bitcoin is also a hype or a bubble, but we've been through this bubble many times already in the past 14 years. So, and in general, a bubble comes up and then just drops. And just like Bitcoin, which will exist for a very long time, we are still selling tulip bulbs. At the moment, we are selling tulip bulbs dried with Bitcoin miners. So the tulip bulb didn't disappear, but the value fluctuated through time, definitely.
So let's pretend you were talking to a farmer who's growing a whole bunch of tulips or any type of crop and needed to warm up their greenhouse, and they've heard about your project. And how would you explain Bitcoin to them in general? You know, what kind of learning process do you take them through so you can get them comfortable with not just using the equipment to warm up their greenhouses, but ultimately, you know, exploring keeping and holding on to the Bitcoin that they mine and why that might be a good idea for them, you know, in the long term?
Yeah, so the people that come to me in general already have some basic knowledge, because otherwise they wouldn't knock on the door to check what I can do for them. So there is some basic understanding. But then if you show, for instance, the Lightning Network, you install an app on your phone, and within 30 seconds, you are transferring Bitcoin, which is 0.00 cents for basically for free. And then they say, okay, and I just didn't have to put my identification in. Yeah, there are billions of people across the globe who don't have access to any identification. So they can just open a bank account in cyberspace and transfer money for free, basically for free, with their mobile phones. And they see that that has a lot of value. And then also in monetary property, everyone is seeing that currently we have a lot of increases in prices at the supermarket level, let's say. So they all feel the inflation that's hurting them. And even in their businesses, they have to constantly increase the prices because the input costs is going up so rapidly. And they see the benefit of the old guilder system, for instance, that we had, which was really conservative with adding money to our supply. So we also just like the D-mark, the German mark, which is next to the Netherlands, we were very conservative, even more conservative than the US dollar after the Second World War. And a lot of people think back to that time where there was not that much money being created. So if you link that back to that history that they often still affiliate to, they see that there's a lot of value in a monetary policy where they know the long-term future, and that at some point this will have a lot of value. And yeah, they can see the future in that sense, because you really need to believe in it, because otherwise you should not invest in it, especially with mining, because the volatility of Bitcoin itself is very heavy. And that means that in fiat terms, so euro or dollar terms, yeah, this is fluctuating a lot. So you need to have a long time horizon. So the people I install with, they look at least holding it for 30 years. Yeah, that's a timeline that properly fits.
Proper hodlers. I like that. So yeah, it's funny. We haven't spent too much time, with our listeners in the past really talking much about like some of the history of money. But, after World War II, there was a significant amount of competition in currency design in Europe. And this was post the devastation of the World War. And you had different countries that managed the supply of their currency with very different strategies. And we're now going through a process of learning what happens when you create a lot more money very, very quickly. And unsurprisingly, if the supply of the currency that everybody is using grows very quickly, the value of the base of that currency deteriorates. And this has been a long, slow march for the US dollar. If you compare the purchasing power of a US dollar 100 years ago to 50 years ago to even 10 years ago to even 3 years ago, the amount of dollars that have been created in response to great financial crisis, a decade of quantitative easing, and then more recently, the stimulus related to COVID, there's been an extraordinary explosion in the currency supply of the world's reserve currency. And Bitcoin really initially was designed as an alternative financial system. And it has natively built into it scarcity. And we as humans have learned that when things are scarce, rare, and useful, they always command prices. And this is really an interesting design in money itself. And when you apply technological principles to it, we even see more advantages, which allow us to, like you mentioned, move money around anywhere in the world instantly, basically for free through tools like the Lightning Network, which is super exciting. So let's hear a little bit about, maybe what the future holds for Bitcoin Bloom and more.
Yeah, so for Bitcoin Brabant is then, let's say, the mother company of Bitcoin Bloom. We, of course, will go on with every year selling some tulip bulbs that are dried with the miners. But currently, we are doing a lot of testing with miners that we actually switch on and off based on electricity price, because we get a lot of flexible electricity prices in the Netherlands currently. Also negative electricity prices. So you are paid to consume power to keep the grid balanced. And also switching on and off based on temperature or heat. And then also switching on and off based on the voltage that you have on your local net, because sometimes your transformers shut down if you have solar. So we are seeing a lot of issues in the Netherlands now with the renewable transformation that we are going through. And we've been doing a lot of testing. I have one here. So we are doing a lot with these S9s. And we distribute them across the Netherlands. So a lot of people are testing with them. We use open source Home Assistant. And then we do on and off switching of these old machines. They are 5+ years old. And then, of course, the noise level comes in, because that's the general issue of these computers. So we put different fans on them. We have 3D printed shrouds that are attached. And in this way, we make them silent. So we can do really testing with cheap machines. So this is 200 euros, but you can also do it with larger machines. So we are testing also. Yeah, this is a big one. We are testing with that, but that costs thousands of euros. And so we really transform the existing miners to silent miners, so we can use them at home setups or small business setups to be doing the combination of heating in the winter and then using overcapacity of solar and wind in summer and spring mostly. And
it's so interesting because this almost creates like a renewable cycle for further investment in alternative energy resources.
Yeah, this exactly.
is such a great point because, you know, in the last year, we were reminded of how vulnerable Europe is to especially natural gas. Yep. And almost all of it in Europe comes from the Middle East and Russia. And especially with the conflict in Ukraine last year, it invited all these questions about energy security. Well, if you invest in solar and, you know, wind and hydro and nuclear, what happens is you sometimes get different loads of energy throughout the course of the day where that energy is no longer being usefully consumed and it can be wasted. And so by actually using Bitcoin mining, you can balance out that consumption of the grid, use the income from that to further invest more in renewables and really develop energy independence. I think what the Netherlands is doing is just extremely innovative. It's forward thinking and it provides ultimately a lot of independence and security for the state there. So, it may sound silly to be heeding, all of these small, medium-sized businesses, but when you distribute the load exactly. across all of these different locations, it really works extremely well. So that is such a cool story. So I know that you're about to release a limited edition set of Bitcoin dried tulips. Tell us a little bit about that. How can people who are listening acquire some? These are sort of a special batch of Bitcoin tulips that you've been working on.
Yeah, so we did that last year also. We dry tulip bulbs because in the winter we grow the tulips in the greenhouse and we heat it with the miners. But in the summer, the bulbs that are coming off the land have to be dried. So they have to be above 28 degrees Celsius constantly. And in the nighttime, the temperature drops below that in the Netherlands. It's much colder than that. So then in general, they use a lot of natural gas to keep this temperature constant to dry the millions of bulbs that are stored there. And now we use the minor heat also in the summer for that. So at least to keep these bulbs dry. And then we have some 2,100 tulip bulbs that we then also sell for Bitcoin. So last year it was really... We wanted to build a website where the Bitcoin price was constant, the fiat price was oscillating on the actual price level, and we sold a few batches of them for fun. And it was just a couple, not that much. But this year we decided to do 100 packages of 21 bulbs, and then already 1,000 have been sold. For Iceland Love You, that's some people that are doing a lot of work for preservation of elephants in Africa. So we work together with that fund.
Amazing. Okay,
let's work together with them for these 1,000 bulbs and then have 1,100 bulbs that we sell via our website.
Okay. So if I wanted to buy some of these limited edition Bitcoin tulips, where would I go and how do I get some?
Yeah, so bitcoinbrabant.com is, of course, where you can get them. Bitcoinbloom.com is also possible.
Okay.
So we have both the websites.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for teaching us a little bit about this extremely innovative work and how you're working with small businesses across the Netherlands to introduce them to Bitcoin mining and the use of that to not only heat their facilities, but also, basically gain access to this new hard asset and alternative financial system. We'd love to keep in touch. So best way to keep following up with you is obviously on the website. Is there anything else our community should know about that you're going to be working on over the next 6 to 12 months?
There's a lot of interesting things going on, but to really follow us, for a lot of people, it's Twitter. So my personal one is BDG Bert de Groot, but Bitcoin Brabant and Bitcoin Bloom also exist. And then we are very active on Nostr these days. So a new social protocol. You can just find me under BERT, Bert, which is my first name. And we try to innovate. So we are now making some videos, especially for steering these miners for home use, connected with Home Assistant. So you can really play around with that. And that's what's going to be released soon. And I think that that will help a lot of people.
Ooh, very cool.
Fun stuff at home. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Well, thank you so much. We'll make sure we tag you in all those and appreciate you sharing your story. And I'm going to look forward to maybe buying a few of those tulips myself and planting those in my garden.
Looking forward to see them grow and see them bloom next year. That's
exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. Cheers. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the blockchain.com podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please like and subscribe to the show. And if your friends and family are embarking on their crypto journey, why not share this episode with them? If you haven't already, visit blockchain.com to sign up for a free crypto wallet today. We've been around since 2011, and we're the world's most popular way to buy, sell, and trade crypto. See you next time.